The Bob Siegel Show on AM 1170. The Answer is sponsored by Bob Siegel.
The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by Primetime Media Group and the law offices of Matthew Simone.
Recurring themes on The Bob Siegel Show can also be found on his online column, Forbidden Table Talk.
It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist, Bob Siegel.
And this is Bob Siegel. So, you'd like to believe in God, but so many people claim to have heard from God. How do you know who to follow? How do you know who's telling the truth? For example, does this mean we now have to follow Democratic Congresswoman Maxine Waters? Yes, that was big in the news this week. Rest easy, America. Maxine Waters is on a mission directed by God to get Trump out of Washington. Now, since she invokes the influence of her pastor, and since she made this announcement at her church, she is obviously suggesting that this call is not just coming from some type of general generic God out in the universe, but the actual God who identified himself in the Bible, who calls the Bible his word. However, in order to bring the God of the Bible into our discussions, we must be consistent enough to look at everything taught in the Bible. With this in mind, I bet you didn't know that Maxine Waters endorses traditional marriage alone and stands for the rights of an unborn baby, both of which are affirmed quite clearly in the Bible, despite the verbal gymnastics and castrated literary criticism many use in dishonest attempts to make such verses say something different. In other words, make them say what they want them to say. And so, of course, Maxine Waters does not in reality affirm these biblical standards and would therefore have to resort to such reinterpretation so as to not take the passages seriously. Well, that's okay. She's free to say what she wants, and so am I, which is why when Representative Waters claims she's being led by God, I don't take her seriously. But now let me introduce a woman who I have to take seriously because I am her husband. But I respect her so much. I want you to know I would take her seriously even if I wasn't her husband. And I can prove that because I knew her and dated her for many years before becoming her husband. Say hello to Dana Siegel.
Well, that's quite an introduction. I'm happy to be here.
I'm always happy to have my lovely wife in the studio. And let me say again, it is the disadvantage of radio that you cannot see her and you only get to hear her. But I get to see her. I get to look at her throughout the whole show. Well, Dana, we recently got back from a trip to Texas.
Yes, we did.
To visit my son and daughter-in-law. We also got to see some dear friends, including my co-host Jim Barrier, who lives in Texas, other good friends. And, of course, Jim is very familiar to our radio audience. Now, the vacation itself, the visit itself was a wonderful time. I always like to start out positive. The vacation, the visit was a wonderful time. In fact, it could not possibly have gone better.
That's true.
Unfortunately, the plane trip out and the plane trip back could not possibly have gone worse. Or I should say all the red tape. Once we actually got on any plane, it was fine. And now for me, of course, the best way to deal with frustrating situations is to make lemons into lemonade. I'm very grateful to have a radio show where I can vent. Some of you out there will remember Dana and I did something very similar a few years ago after we got married and took our honeymoon in Florida. When we got back, we shared our adventures in Florida. So think of today as a sequel program. The Siegel's Adventures in Texas, or Adventures on the Way to and on the way home from Texas, I should say.
And actually, we'd have to narrow that down because the flights between San Diego and Dallas were fabulous. There was no issue. We got right on.
There's just something about changing planes in Texas.
There's something about Dallas that changes everything. And we're in the Dallas-Fort Worth airport. And if anybody, if you've been there, you know it is a monstrous airport. They have, I believe, eight or more full-size terminals, each one huge. They're linked by what they call the SkyLink, which is like a monorail system that takes you around. And here in San Diego, like, we have our two terminals. Woo! It's either one or two. And you can walk between them if you get dropped off at the wrong one.
San Diego seems like a big airport until you get to a place like Dallas.
It is just tiny, tiny, tiny compared to Dallas. And they have the sprawling land. So they have just, fields and runways forever.
Everything's bigger in Texas. The donuts, the airports.
And the airport. Yeah. So
now, we're not going to mention the name of the airline because we don't want to be cruel and unfair and cause
because
them to
we've
lose.
Had great experiences
well,
on
yeah,
that airline
and so
in the past.
To be fair, I'm going to change the name of the airline. We're talking about Shamerican Airlines, okay? Shamerican Airlines. That's the and
that.
I used to fly Shamerican Airlines for years doing evangelism trips around the country. Shamerican and United were two of the best airlines, but boy, Shamerican's peculiar charm seems to elude me these days.
And my uncle is a retired captain.
From Shamerican?
Yes.
Okay.
And he was an exceptional pilot and always had great experiences.
Remember, folks, this is a fictitious name. It's Shamerican Airlines. That's what we're talking about.
Yes. And so we get to Dallas and we have to move to the next terminal because Dallas is so huge. You never land in the same terminal you're going to take off from, no matter where you're going. You've got to move to the next one. So we land, we take the SkyLink over a few terminals.
Which is like riding the monorail at Disneyland.
Yeah, exactly.
It's longer than the whole monorail ride lasts at Disneyland.
I believe it is. It's much longer. And then you reach, their terminals are beautiful. They're beautiful, big buildings, just spacious. They certainly have much more food offerings than we have here in San Diego. But anyway, we get there, we make it to our next terminal, get to our gate. Once I get to the next gate, then I'm relaxed and I'm okay and I'm just waiting for the flight. So we get there and we think, okay, yay, we're here. We've got a couple hour layover. This is great. Well, the first thing that happened is that the door about 40 feet from where we were sitting is one of those doors that is like a security door that only employees are allowed to go in and out to the internal part of the airport. And so every time something was wrong with the door mechanism, so every time an employee would go in or out, within a minute, it would be a delayed reaction. This just horrific
alarm. And of course, our flight's being delayed. So,
we're listening
normally,
to
we
this.
Would have only had to listen to that for 30 minutes, but it was a couple of hours.
It was several hours. Yeah. And so every time employees going out, so it kind of got to be the joke of all the people in that gate area and the people at the desk, the employees at the desk, like everybody's trying to run for the door to get there before it would go off anytime somebody had compromised the door. And you just had to pull on it again, kind of slam it. And I kept thinking, can't they call somebody to come fix this door? Anyway, so that was a little bit of an issue, but it made for some entertainment while we were there. So we're sitting there, we're listening to the announcements where planes are being canceled. And, you know, ours still isn't. It's still saying, you know, ours is taking off on time. Yay, yay, yay. And then all of a sudden we're hearing ramps are closing, planes are circling, this and that. We're thinking, what in the world's going on? Well, there is a huge thunder lightning storm. There's rain coming down the windows of the terminal, just the sheets. It was a ton of water. The skies literally had opened up. Thunder, lightning, huge. Okay, we get why the planes are stopped during that part.
And this was reminding me of the plane trip we were going to take to Israel when the winds of Denver knocked some
blew the portable stairway into the engine.
Yes. And then it took them 2 hours to decide if they were going to cancel the flight, which of course they were always going to do. And then it was, what, 4 days before we left for Israel?
Yes, it was. But this was, the thunder and lightning storm was gorgeous, and our flight still wasn't to take off for another hour.
We don't do
hour.
Too well at airports. And, we have a lot of good trips
together. It's a lot
together.
Of entertainment, though.
Yeah, it's entertaining later when we can talk about it. But, I mean, it's just, we've had great road trips, but there's something about you and I on planes. I don't know.
Well,
we have less turbulence on Star Tours in Disneyland.
Well, and it's only certain parts. It's just here and there because legs of the trip are fabulous. And then we get to that. When it goes bad, it goes really bad for some reason, instead of just being partially
bizarre stuff. The kind of stuff
really
that if
weird.
You saw in
yes.
some situation yes. comedy, you'd think it was contrived and stupid and you wouldn't
right.
believe it.
So now they say that all of the ramps, whatever those are, they kept talking about ramps. Ramps are closed due to the weather. Planes can't land. Okay, we get all that. So we're sitting there thinking it's still an hour plus till our flight leaves. So we're okay. Sure enough, 20 minutes later, the skies start opening.
And they start adjusting our flight. 10 minutes
yeah,
late, 15
exactly.
minutes late.
Yeah.
Now it's going to be an hour late.
But even the guys at the desk were optimistic. They were saying, oh, yeah, the ramp's open. Oh, yeah, the plane's going to pull up to the gate now. And so we're hearing all this progress that it's going well. We're still not thinking anything. And then we're still hearing about other flights being canceled to other destinations. All of a sudden, like maybe half an hour before we were originally supposed to take off, they just say this flight to Waco has been canceled. And even the employees at the counter were surprised. I was looking at them when the announcement came, and they looked at each other with this puzzled, like, what?
Because
and
by that
said
time,
it was
there
due
is
to
no
weather.
More, and there's no more thunder and lightning. We
clear.
Had had it, but it's now
blue
skies and sunny yeah. when they make this announcement.
So we can't figure that out. And then we talked to our kids once we finally connect with them. It was blue, sunny skies in Waco the whole time, too. So we
and
had
Waco's, what, about
no,
2 hours from Dallas?
Driving, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So we were the reason we were going to connect to Waco was save them a two-hour drive
trip.
To pick us up,
right.
Which of course they were not going to have to do anyway.
Exactly. So now we're in a quandary. Okay. And then on my phone, I get a text from the airline saying they are happy to rebook our flight for 2 days later. And do I confirm this?
2 days later when we were planning to come home, let's take flight to Waco.
We were going
to
be there 4 days, but it would have been halfway through our trip when they were finally going to get us there. And so anyway, our kids started driving from Waco, and then they asked, could we Uber out just to try to connect with them so that they didn't have to drive all the way in? And then that way they could drive about an hour and a half instead of the long way and deal with
that. Before that, we were trying to get our luggage back.
Oh, I forgot about that. Oh, that was, I don't want to remember that part.
Oh,
that was not
honey,
fun.
We need the catharsis of talking about it. And the healing which can come from getting it off of our chests.
I didn't like
that
part.
So that we can be good Christians and forgive.
Yes. Well, we just didn't
get
a lot of help.
We
didn't get a lot of help trying to. They just kept saying, your luggage is going to Waco.
They must have picked the most uninformed, unhelpful, no bedside manner. Not that she was supposed to be a doctor. You could not have had a worse woman in charge of answering the questions of how we get our luggage back. And the answer was always the same for everybody. Well, you can't get your luggage back, but we'll be right back.
Now at 888-344-1170. That's toll free, 888-344-1170. Bob may have strong opinions, but he also likes to hear what you have to say.
The sound more beautiful.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-aged child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool and a nonprofit 501c3 organization. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
Back to 1170 The Answer. I'm joined today by my beautiful wife, Dana Siegel.
Yeah, it's great to be here and talk about that trip. And I know the luggage was very frustrating, but I think the next part of the adventure was even more interesting.
Except that we're not done with the luggage yet.
Okay, you keep going because I'm done with the luggage.
Okay, because no, you got to catch this. Okay, we are no longer flying to Waco because you don't have any more flights to Waco.
That's correct. Not for 2 days.
Well, we have one in 2 days. Yeah, but see, we wanted to get there today. And my son's now going to pick us up. So our luggage, which was checked, was going to be picked up in Waco. How do we get our luggage? Well, you can't.
It's going to go to Waco.
Well, why not? It's here at the airport. We're here at the airport. Oh, well, it was put on your plane, but the plane's not going anywhere. So somebody just goes out to the plane and takes it. Oh, I'm sorry, sir. We can't do that. And then finally, this woman was replaced with another woman who I guess was the regular woman.
Yes.
When we tried to ask the first woman, how do we get our luggage back? She didn't know what to tell us.
She gave us the website to track it. And told us how to do
the second one.
Yeah,
the first one wonderful. Didn't know what on earth to tell us.
No, I know. I think she was just doing the break time. I'm not sure what was going on there, but it was very frustrating to say the least. So we discover now we have no luggage. Oh, and the kicker to that is never before have I ever put everything in the suitcase, the one suitcase.
You've always had an emergency change of clothes.
Always
at least
carried some pajamas, toothbrush. And I thought,
No,
we're just going to Waco.
We just
going
to Waco. We don't need to put it in two suitcases
so
this time.
So everything we needed was in that suitcase. So we had a alternate plan to go to Target that night. They had a Super Target that was open late. So we were going to go, if in fact our luggage did not arrive, and at least grab a toothbrush and a change of clothes for the overnight. But we did get our luggage, but we'll tell you about that later. So now we're trying to figure out how to Uber out of the Dallas airport.
There may be a few people. Uber's still new to a lot of people. It's like taking a cab, but
it's personalized.
It's a different company.
It's a private contract.
Yeah, and they'll hire some college student or somebody to do it. And
the rates are better than taxis.
And they're quick.
Typically, not always.
So, right. And we've taken Uber before, so we were going to do this. But
I'm trying to get the app in the airport. And when we're doing this, there's a group of three ladies sitting next to us. And they are... they're trying to get taxis, different things. They hear us talking about Uber because we're talking to our kids and they're saying, hey, get an Uber, do this, do that. So they ask us, what's an Uber?
What's an Uber?
So we explain, it's like a private contracting car. You can get a car. I'm not kidding you. No more than we told them about it. They didn't even know what it was. I'm watching it on my phone. I'm trying to get it. And I keep getting
and
to that automated
to
cart.
Loop.
The loop where you have to prove you're not a robot. So I'm picking all the scenes with cars, and then it checks I'm not a robot, and then it circles
and then
back.
When you
now
click
I'm
it,
picking
you have to
all
prove again.
The ones
only this time you're
going to
pick bushes
and
or
then,
something.
Yes, and then buildings, and then I'm doing road signs, and I felt like I was in this twilight zone. Like it would see based on my selection, I'm not a robot. It would click. And it would verify I'm not a robot. And then all of a sudden, if I press to continue, we're back in this, are you a robot thing? It was crazy. Well, fortunately.
So we're in the middle of this. And then all of a sudden, these women.
Like 5 minutes later.
10 minutes ago had never heard of Uber said, thanks, we got an Uber.
We got an Uber. It's right there. And
we're sitting here.
Out.
We had told them about Uber. We can't get an Uber.
So fortunately, Bob's son is a technology whiz. That's what his degree is in. And he said, hey, why don't you turn off your Bluetooth just for kicks and see what happens? So I turn it off.
Not my son on the phone.
They're still driving toward Dallas. And he said, take your Bluetooth off and just see. Took it off. It downloaded. We had a car ordered and we are off and on our way in the next 5 minutes. But that was so, I think I probably did 10 of those. Are you a robot checks? I was going crazy. So we Uber out of the city.
This was like that movie Trains, Planes, and Automobiles, only this was even stupider. Yeah. I thought that was a stupid movie. This was even stupider and it was really happening.
It was. And so we get out of the city. We meet up with our kids. We have a great ride home. They're happy because they didn't have to navigate Dallas quitting time traffic. And we're just driving out in the country back to Waco. So it was a shorter drive for them. And it ended up being okay. But we hated that we had spent extra money to go to Waco directly to save them time. And they still had to drive on top of that.
And we were asking the luggage lady. She said, you can check in Waco to see if it arrives. I said, well, if you're not sending any planes for 2 days to Waco, how's our luggage going to arrive in Waco? They said, oh, well, we do have another plane at 10 o'clock tonight. It's going out. So I said, well, can we get on that plane? Oh, no, you can't because it's full. Well, then if it's full, how are you going to fit our luggage on? Oh, we're going to take people off of that plane.
She actually
said
that. And
put your luggage on.
And, well, I'm like,
you're
going to
take people off of the plane. Why don't you put us on? I mean, it was just insane.
Yeah, but that was the brake lady. She didn't really know what she was talking about, I think. So anyway.
They love to pick people that don't know what they're talking about for crucial situations like this.
Yes, yes. So we are in Waco now. We've had a lovely drive, catching up with the kids, and meeting Baxter the Beagle for the first time. Such a sweet little 10-month-old Beagle that they have. And at 10:30, we decide to drive over to the airport to see if our luggage made it or not. And this airport is like the airport in the sitcom Wings, like just minimal little sitting area, the conveyor belt. The luggage thing is literally a little conveyor belt that comes out of the wall in one place, goes around, and goes right back in. It's pretty simple operation.
And I'm thinking, oh, on our trip back, this is a simple little airport.
Yeah, it'll be great.
It's going to be a real easy trip going back with a little airport like this. Just put a peg on that. We'll come back to that.
So we did get our luggage. We did not have to buy extra toothbrushes. And we had a wonderful visit while we were there and saw a lot of really great things. One of my favorite things was, well, I had several favorite, but one of the favorites was seeing the live black bears at Baylor University.
Yeah, here's a university and bears are their mascot.
Yes, so the black bears.
They actually keep a few. They used to do that with mascots. Yeah. They'd have real live mascots. I thought they'd stop that years ago. Well, not at Baylor. We'll be right back. Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle. So when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, W&S takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for W&S Electric, Incorporated, license number 480-539, W&S Electric.
The verdict is in on Bob Siegel's novel, The Dangerous Christmas Ornament. Readers love it, and they say as much in their customer reviews. Reviews such as this one. Like the Chronicles of Narnia in the last century, the story is fun and mysterious, appropriate for adults as well as kids, and should become a classic. I won't even give any spoilers, but I will say that I couldn't put it down. It makes a point without being preachy. There are twists and turns and a great ending. Like the title object, the story challenges your thinking without leaving you in despair. This book would make an excellent Christmas gift for yourself or others, and it can be enjoyed at any time of the year. The Dangerous Christmas Ornament, available on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com.
Welcome back to 1170 The Answer. This is Bob Siegel and Dana Siegel. The music you're listening to or just heard seconds ago is from La La Land. Now, since Dana's here with me, I need, before we continue with our misadventures in Texas, I need to tell you a La La Land story because Dana saw this movie before I did. And I was curious. I like musicals. Some I don't like. Some are cheesy. She came home and she said it was excellent, but I did not like the ending. It did not have a happy ending. And that's how I knew I would like it, because I get so tired of the contrived Hollywood happy endings where the guy's not sure how he feels. So he chases her down to the airport and confesses his feelings in front of a group of people and everybody applauds. And so I knew that when Dana said she didn't like it, that was code for the couple breaks up. And I was thinking, well, that's like the older musicals used to be. It used to be boy meets girl, boy gets girl, boy loses girl. And sometimes by not completely tying something up, it makes it a little artistic. But Dana hates this. She loves happy ending. We've been watching Man in the High Castle, fantastic series. I don't know how she can sit down and watch it because she really steps out of her comfort zone. A fantastic mini series about what life would have been like if the Nazis and the Japanese had won World War II. And Dana sits through it, but we have a new rule. We can't walk it right before bedtime because she's afraid it's going to give her nightmare. But isn't it interesting? The minute she said you didn't like the ending to La La Land, I said, oh, I know now that I am going to like it because I don't like contrived endings in stories.
Yeah, but it is one of my favorite movies now because once I knew that, when I went to see it with you, I enjoyed it much more because I was ready for that. I knew what was going to happen. The music's great. The dancing, the colors, it's just a great experience. And really, they both got what they
got
set out to do.
And they helped the other achieve
each other. Yeah. So they still really were integral in each other's lives. They just didn't end up doing it together.
You love the novels and plays that I write, and I always have twist, unexpected endings.
Never is there a happy ending.
Well, they're bittersweet. Some things get wrapped up, but I never wrap up everything.
They're poignant endings.
I like the audience to think about it. So it always surprises me because you say you love what I write, but then you say you don't like things with happy endings, or you just buttering me up when you say that you like what I write. You just
and I'm gonna say that over the air. I don't think so. No, I really do love what you write. It's ingenious and it's very
you heard her, ladies, say that again. Was that ingenious?
There is such a gift that God has given you for creativity of stories and things that I've never read.
But I have
in
to ask you, if you like what I write, how can it also be true that you don't like things that don't have happy endings?
I prefer things with happy endings. I prefer them. It doesn't mean that
Would my things be as ingenious if I tacked on the ending at the end that
no,
everybody applauds
then
when they kiss?
Same. No.
Well, there you go. I don't write Hallmark movies.
Like,
I write
things with kids. We don't want that happy ending with kids. We want them to continue their journeys.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So anyway.
All right. Back to Texas.
Yeah. Back to the Bears.
We're now on the part of the trip that we enjoyed. Like I said, the visit we enjoyed.
But it was wonderful.
The airline going out. And once again, we're changing the name to protect this airline. We're calling it Shamerican Airlines so that you won't know what airline we're really talking about. We're calling it Shamerican. Go ahead, Dana.
So those Black Bears, they were wonderful. We loved them.
That's because they weren't run by Shamerican Airlines.
Yeah. They were sisters. And they were just so adorable. And there are students that volunteer from the science departments to help with their keeping and taking care of them. And they were just being let out for the morning. So they drizzled honey on the two exhibit windows.
So that they would get up on their hind legs to reach for
lick
the honey.
The windows. Oh, my goodness. It was such a treat. And they are sisters, Lady and Joy.
They look so cute. You want to just go in there and give them a belly rub.
But you
wouldn't think that they'd maul you to death when you do that.
Those claws are definitely scary. But no, they were beautiful animals and two sisters. And they clearly are well cared for there at Baylor University. And Baylor's such a gorgeous campus, and they're definitely treated with just great respect and honor. So that was fun to see. They've had more than 100 bears on their university for the years that they've been doing this. Pretty cool. That campus is unique in so many ways. They also have a Browning library.
We should say we're taking a tour of this campus because my son is employed.
He is in IT there. Yes, he works in their department there, and it's a massive university. So it's a huge job that he's doing. But we were able to see some things because he is an employee there. And the Browning Library is phenomenal. It's most renowned for the windows, the stained glass windows that are all throughout the library that they believe were the inspiration for the Beauty and the Beast movie, which I can completely see once I saw
it that way.
Yes. So I believe that was
the library that the Beast gave her in his castle.
Yes. And then the beginning storyline where they tell the story in the stained glass pictures was very similar.
Yes, it looked very derivative of those stained glasses.
Yeah, so that was very cool. The Baylor Museum, which is also kind of dubs as the Waco Museum, like our San Diego Balboa Park, is actually on the university campus. And right now they have the touring exhibit for the Titanic. I didn't see it when it was here in San Diego. It was here in San Diego in 2012. But it's now at Baylor, and it was just amazing to go through that exhibit. And so we really learned a lot and got to see a lot. They have first class room set up, second class, third class. You learn a lot about, you know, how things operated, the protocols on the ship, just different things like that. Many, many artifacts that have been pulled up from the wreckage at the bottom of the sea. The wreckage is 2.5 miles down. So it's been quite an endeavor to even bring up pieces. And so it's just amazing to really look at the pieces that were on that ship. And each one of us, before we went in, were assigned a person. You're given a card that describes one of the passengers on the Titanic. And you find out the fate of each one of those passengers at the end. And both Nathaniel and Bob were men. Nathaniel was a Catholic pastor, priest, and he died praying over people and doing last rites for many people. Only Tori and I survived, both women. One of us had children. We were the only ones that survived.
However, Dana, would you agree that trip on the Titanic that we took in the museum was easier than our trip getting back home on Shamerican Airlines?
Going through the exhibit was much easier. Okay. Yes.
Well, I think the actual Titanic voyage itself was easier than our.
No.
We'll continue with Bob and Dana's adventures in Texas. This is Bob Siegel. Looking for a church? Maybe not. Perhaps you've had your fill of churches. Maybe you even grew up in the church. Maybe as a kid you were dragged to Sunday school against your will. Maybe you used to throw spit wads as Mrs. Pumpernickel tried desperately to interest you in the missionary journeys of the Apostle Paul. You may have grown up listening to long sermons, anxiously looking at your watch to see how much of the game you were missing at home on TV as the pastor made his 97th point. Or perhaps you were not raised as a Christian at all. Instead, you have merely encountered Christians. Maybe some obnoxious personality tried to shove the gospel down your throat using all the tact of a lawnmower in a barber shop. Well, my friend, perfect Christians don't exist because perfect people don't exist. That's why Jesus died for our sins. So I'm not going to tell you that the people of Skyline Church are perfect. I'm just going to tell you that we come real close. No, actually, you'll just find people who struggle with life the same as you. But we're honest about the struggle, and we help each other with the struggle. What you will find is a church that takes the love of Jesus Christ seriously. After all, his message is one of mercy and inclusion, and we don't need 97 points to talk about God. Ask anybody. Our sermons have never made more than 96 points. Skyline Church at 94 in Hamishaw, Sunday morning services at 8:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m.
Dana Siegel, one of his rotating co-hosts.
Rotating co-hosts and everyday wife.
That's right. And we were just finishing up talking about our stay in Waco with our kids. It was amazing. You know, Waco right now has extremely hot temperature, great humidity. So you do everything you're going to do outside in the morning. And by 12-ish, 1, you are doing everything.
You tried to do everything indoors by 10.
Yeah, that's true. But by midday, you are back in the air conditioning, and now you're hopping the air conditioning situation just because it is so hot there. But we had a great time. We just enjoyed seeing great places and playing lots of board games, watching movies, talking. And playing with their beagle, Baxter. He's just adorable. And I think my favorite thing about Baxter, other than he's just adorable, love those beagle ears. They're the best. But was taking him to doggy daycare when we were going to, on our days when we were going
that
to lots
hilarious.
Of music.
That was hilarious.
It was so.
It was better than childcare.
He was, well, it's the same thing just for little canines.
I don't understand why dogs can have so much fun just sniffing each other.
Oh, they were so cute. And there's like cams, you know, doggy cams. So you can watch, you can go online anytime and watch. And it was so much fun to drop. He was so excited. He was pulling Tori down the hall to the doggy daycare.
And they leave him there all day.
Yeah. So we could go and not worry about him being inside or anything like that. So they take him there when they're going to be gone all day. And he doesn't get to go really often. But when he goes, he is so excited. And then what's so funny is that he's played so much all day. We're checking in. He's playing with big dogs, little dogs.
We're watching them on a
cam.
Yeah,
we're watching him. Then he comes home, and then the next day he's very happy to just kind of be laying around and being, he's worn out from his day at doggy daycare. And what's so cute is they take a nap. They have a nap time between 12 and 2. So the cameras go off, the doggies are, they do a potty session, and then they put them in crates and they nap. So
I don't think they do story time, but they do just about everything else.
They might sing lullabies. But anyway, that was very, very cool to get
and
to meet
Baxter. And
Nathaniel
said they get 2 days for the price of one because he's so tired the second.
Yes, the second day it's like it still goes.
I guess beagles, well, no dog likes to be left alone, but beagles especially.
They're very social.
Yeah. And so that doggy daycare is just perfect if you need a day without your dog.
Yeah, that was fun. So we had
he was very cute. And Nathaniel's both of them are doing a great job
training
him
beautifully.
Him.
Yeah, he's a very well behaved.
Whenever when there's four people in the room and one person leaves, every time Dana would step out of the room or anybody, Tori, he would just be fixated on where they went. He had no peace till that person came back.
Yeah,
in the
he
room.
Wanted all his people
it's
together.
Like, there's four of you. Why is one of you out of the room? It was really funny.
Yeah, he's a sweetie. So a great trip. So I start praying once we're in Texas that our trip home will be uneventful, just because it was crazy getting there. And I honestly, in my brain, thought there's no way it could be any worse going home because we had so much adventure coming. So I'm praying and just, you know, asking God to just make it uneventful. And so we get ready to take off and head back home.
And you know what? It turned out to be even more eventful.
It was crazy. And again, it was that leg between Waco and Dallas. Because from Dallas to San Diego, other than we weren't together because our seat change. So here's a little tidbit you need to know. If you do not finish the flight that you have planned with the airlines, for some reason, they assume you are not on the flight that you have planned to come home. So because we not only we couldn't access the second leg of our flight, it didn't exist. We declined the one 2 days later. And all I got was a text saying, we're confirming your flight for 2 days later.
And
blah,
then we
blah,
go
blah.
Into the airport and nobody's behind the desk.
Yeah. So we think that it's all going to be fine. We have no idea that our tickets have been canceled because they think we never made it to Waco.
And they don't tell you
they don't
that because
tell
we didn't
that.
Make it to Waco, they're canceling our return flight. I guess yeah. This is all done by computer. So this was a nice little surprise. We show up. There's nobody behind the desk. I finally walk up to a police officer. I say, we need our ticket. We can't get it on the computer. Something's not working and nobody's here. He goes, oh, you're just supposed to walk behind the desk and knock on
the
door.
Yes, you go behind the airline counter.
I go behind the airline counter and knock on, and that's the usual procedure. So I knock on the door. The guy comes out. He tells us we don't have any ticket. They canceled your flight home. Really? And who was going to tell us that our flight home had been canceled?
It was
and
shocking.
Why did they cancel it? We didn't cancel it. We paid for it. We didn't cancel it.
Yeah, it was shocking. He said, well, because you didn't take the second flight to Waco. And I said, so it's just assumed since we didn't take that second flight that we're not here.
See,
I said,
you can't make this
up. You know, people are resourceful. They'll figure out.
You cannot make this up. Like I said, if this was in a movie, you wouldn't believe it. You'd think it was stupid and contrived, but this actually happened.
But this guy, he was great. He spent quite a bit of time on the phone. He did get our tickets reactivated, but what happened in that reactivation was that we were not able to sit together because our seats were gone. So we are both in the middle seat on opposite sides of the plane in different rows. But you know,
but I should say, even though he was helpful, I did not have a great attitude at this time, which I want to just freely confess. When he told us our tickets were canceled, I just said, either you get us tickets home and get those tickets running again, or I will sue this airline. And then I went to call my son and daughter-in-law, and I didn't realize my voice travels. That's why I'm on the air. I thought I was talking only to them. It turns out everybody in this section of the airport
the
was hearing
waiting.
Me.
What's the little
and now I had already told the guy. Now I'm telling my son, I will sue this airline. I told the guy. When Dana told me that everyone had heard that, I felt so bad. She apologized to him.
I told the guy not
and
to
I did,
listen. Please
I did.
Ignore my husband.
I went up to the guy. I apologized. I said, you know, it's just the frustration of the whole week, and I shouldn't be blaming you. Anyway, we'll be right back. Bob Siegel. Buying or selling a home? Feeling overwhelmed? Facing what seems like unlimited choices? Believe me, your first and most important step is to find the right person to represent you and look out for your interests. Somebody who will help you save money while buying or make money for you when you sell. So listen carefully as I offer the best housing advice you're ever going to hear. What you want to do is contact Realty Executives All Area, and you want to ask for my good friend, Fred Falduti. Fred has managed literally hundreds of real estate transactions in the San Diego area and has handled just about any scenario you can imagine. Believe me, folks, you don't want to navigate the landmines of this economy without a skilled and experienced guide. But Fred is so much more. He will look after your interests as if they were his own. Give him a call or contact him online. Fred Falduti with Realty Executives All Area, 619-719-7717. That's 619-719-7717 or fredfalduti.com.
Bob Siegel's novels may start out looking like typical stories, but in no time at all, they go directions you would never have dreamed about. Just listen to the premise of Bob Siegel's unusual story, Choice of the Lorelei. Martha Flannery, an aggressive missionary, sets out for the Frisian Islands to convert the newly discovered tribe called Reinu. Here she enters into a strong battle of wills with Dr. Connors, a cultural anthropologist who wants to protect the Reinu people from outside influence, especially evangelism. Connors' strange manners and obsession with the Reinu are only the first of several eerie mysteries, including previous visitors to the island who never returned home and an elderly gentleman claiming to be 4,000 years old. Choice of the Lorelei. Available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Siegel Show, our theme, Christianity and its relationship to politics and pop culture. Obviously, we're doing a pop culture edition today, the pop culture of travel, but it did dovetail with my Christianity because I no longer had a Christian attitude by the time they canceled our tickets on the way home from Waco, canceling them because we had not accepted a 2 day later flight that they had canceled, and they canceled them without telling us. But of course, this was not the fault of the guy that was trying to help us. So when I told him I'd sue the airline, I would have sued the airline if he hadn't helped us, but it wasn't his fault. No, I shouldn't have been taking it out on him. So I did repent. I proclaimed my repentance publicly over the air. Go ahead and continue the story.
Yeah, and he was very gracious. What was so funny is not only is he the guy that solves the ticket problem, weighs your baggage and all that, but then he's also the one that runs behind to the next place where the little sitting area and then greets you to board the plane. So it's a small
And he's also
operation.
The shoe shine yeah. boy, and he's the one that refills the candy bars and the candy machine.
It was cute. And their TSA
he pumps
there,
your gas.
The TSA there was a group of just adorable ladies, just all having a grand time. And we've got the pre-check TSA now, and I don't know if it's our gray hair or we just don't look threatening. I'm not sure what it is, but they were just chatting and having a great time. So we finally get on the plane, and now we're idling on the tarmac for 25 minutes.
And by this time, idling on the tarmac is the least of the problems. But, you know, you expect a plane to sometimes be late. These flights just being late, that of course they continue to be late. It didn't matter anymore. That was nothing compared to everything else we'd been going through.
And the reason we were idling is the pilot had told us they're stacked up in Dallas. So he thought it would be better if we weren't circling. So we're running. It's 105. So they're running the engines at full speed to keep the air on.
Honey, you know what I like about changing planes in Dallas?
Nothing.
Nothing.
So we finally take off. We get there, we land, yay. And then I'm clocking this. I'm noticing all the time because this whole thing is pretty amazing. We taxied around that airport for 15 minutes in the plane. We started on one side and went all the way around the airport. It's like they have little roads for the planes.
And they have, you know, little ramps. They go up and over. We went over several freeways, roadways. It's like we're out in the country in a plane just tootling along. And 15 minutes of driving around this monstrous airport, we finally pull in. Now, we think we're going to a gate. No, we're not going to a gate. We're now like inching along.
You'd think that your plane would just land and pull up to a gate, right?
We're inching along and there's no gate for us. Finally, I see one little one in between two huge planes. We stop, but we're still out kind of in the passing area. And I think, are they going to try to pull us in there? Well, we sat there for another 5 minutes. Finally, the guys with the orange flashlight wands come strolling like they are not in a hurry. And I think, well, they're not coming for us. They're expecting another plane. They're going way too slow. I'm not kidding you. 5 minutes later, from coming out from under the terminal to out in position, suddenly the front guy raises his two flashlights and our plane turned to pull in. And I thought, is anybody here in a hurry? Like, is anybody really working? It was pretty amazing. So we get there. Well, now we also know we're going to have to change terminals again to get to the flight to go back to San Diego. So we get off. We're there. We're so happy to be there. Take the Skylink to the next terminal. I said, I just want to get to the next gate, get settled, check our tickets, see if there's, you know, make sure we're actually on this plane. And so we get to the next gate. We're seated. We're going to get a couple little snacks. And then we weren't even going to do a meal. We're sitting there. It's maybe 45 minutes before the plane is supposed to take off. And we hear an announcement.
And now, one thing you need to understand about Dallas, it's such a huge airport that obviously you take a tram to get from one terminal to the other. But even when you're at the proper terminal, it's not like the San Diego airport or most airports where if you're walking to another gate,
it's not a big deal.
Yeah. If they say your plane's going to be taken off from a different gate that was scheduled,
it's a few minutes,
but at Dallas, it could take you 15, 20 minutes just to walk down 10 different gates. That's how humongous this airport is.
It was. And we were at gate 13 in this terminal, and over the loudspeaker, they announce our flight has now been moved to gate 28. Now, 13 to 28 is a significant
distance. This is 13 to 28 Texas style.
Everything's bigger in Texas.
Texas style, I say. So
we start, and we're just thinking there is no way this is happening, because up until now, it's all kind of been unbelievable even till now. But now we're thinking, okay, this is the topper. So we start walking. It's taken us several minutes.
It's taken us about 20 minutes.
Yeah, it has taken a while. I'm not as ambulatory as I used to be, waiting for a hip replacement. So you can imagine how
it's
slow
the mileage,
I am.
Honey. It's not the years. It's the mileage.
So I'm doing the best to move to this next gate. And we can hear all the other passengers with us. People are, you know, we're all walking. We can't believe this. Wow, what's going on? I can see gate 26.
Just when it's in the horizon. We're almost
there.
We're almost done. And then they come over the loudspeaker. Hey, you know what? We're going to leave from the original gate 13 after all.
Oh, we could have believed. You could tell every single person that was on that flight that was walking, because everybody was, no way, you can't believe this. Are you kidding me? So we all turn around. We start walking back. It was a good 20, 25 minutes of just walking to do the Phantom gate 28 back to gate 13. And then we did eventually get on the plane. We were indifferent. At that point, I didn't even ask for a seat change. We were just happy to be on. They were upgrading a lot of people to first class, but it really wasn't first class. It was just, can you take this seat? They didn't offer them anything special. The
Believe
curtain
me,
never went down.
Nothing about any of this trip will ever be confused with any kind of first class service.
It was something. Well, you know, I when we got back to San Diego, and the rest was fine. When we got back, I really
the rest
do.
Was fine. What's I, left?
Getting our luggage again. But I really do feel like really it's buses in the sky now. It's really not airline travel like we are used to. It's you're taking a bus in the sky, and it's just like
it's just like a real simple mode of transportation now. It's nothing fancy anymore.
Well, thanks for coming on, honey. And again, the trip itself was wonderful. It was just getting there and getting back. Once again, we don't want to embarrass the airline, so we changed the name to Shamerican Airlines. Thank you for indulging us. We usually, this show has very heavy topics. We thought we'd do a lighter one. It didn't seem too light to us while we were going through it, but it does seem light and fun now going over it. We'll see you next week.
Siegel Show on AM 1170, The Answer, is sponsored by Bob Siegel.